Journalism remains under attack. In California, there's been a bill that is asking for social media companies to pay the content creators of the stories if they put ads next to them. While this sounds like a great thing for the content creators of journalism, it could be a horrible thing as far as what is deemed as newsworthy and able to be put online. Reminds me of net neutrality. There's also debates going on about OpenAI and how it will impact children. Today we're going to discuss technology and the implications on our rights. So sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
America Emboldened.
Greg, I feel emboldened.
You don't know the founding fathers. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they sacrificed. We have lost touch with the principles in the Constitution. Nobody's read the Declaration of Independence. You are voting for socialism, and you got what you voted for.
Welcome, bold Americans, to another episode of America Emboldened here on the America Out Loud Network. I'm your host, Greg Bolden. Glad that you're here joining. Just a quick Trump alert as I'm recording this. It now looks like Donald Trump will not be indicted, possibly until next week. So with that story still completely up in the air, on Tuesday they continued with more interviews of witnesses. It seems like there may be a delay. So this information that Trump came out with last week saying that by Tuesday he'd be arrested, well, that did not play out, but it has created some great drama and some great news across the mainstream media. They just can't get enough of this. Today, I'm going to focus on what's going on in the tech world. I feel that this is a much more important story for everybody because in the tech world, it's going to start controlling the amount of information that we have. And on Tuesday, there's a California bill that's being introduced by Assemblymember Buffy Wicks. She's from Oakland. And this legislation would require large technology companies like Facebook and Twitter and Google to pay a journalism usage fee whenever they run digital ads next to news content. Now, that could be articles, that could be opinion pieces from the news, whatever. It's anything that helps to reinvest in journalism jobs, make the publishers reinvest in all that. Now, this California law sounds like a great thing if you're people like me who's producing content on a daily basis, telling you what's going on in the news world. I would love it that when people put my article on America Out Loud, and it goes on to Twitter, if when that advertisement put some money into my pocket, I would not complain whatsoever about that. And what I like about that, because I'm going to give you the pros and the cons, what I like about that is I don't have control over the advertisement, so therefore there's no change of special interest there. I'm not creating anything and no one's paying me off for that advertisement. I don't know if it's getting picked up or not. But how you get paid, that's a larger problem. Now, industry leaders in the news say that the California bill is a first of its kind at any state level. You may remember a while back there was a net neutrality act that stated that if we were to open up the tiered system of internet, you would have to pay for certain websites. Other websites would not be available to you, and people fought back against that. Well, this could also be another major standoff here between media groups and Facebook, Google, Meta, whatever they're called now, on what they're doing with their digital advertisements. Think about the news stories that you see on a daily basis on these websites. As you're scrolling through whatever people have posted that they had for dinner or how beautiful their wife looked or boyfriend looked, whatever it may be, all of a sudden you see an advertisement or you see a video. Maybe it's a news story that has been pushed in by somebody. And then all of a sudden there's an advertisement because that news story has been clicked on so many times that the algorithm says to Meta, you know what, we should put on an advertisement here because we'll have a lot of engagement. And so now the news story is almost unofficially sponsored by X, Y, or Z brand agency. This is a major problem because eventually what could happen is the Google group or Facebook could decide well, that story is not as popular. We're not going to put an advertisement on there. And then we're just going to block the news content. And we know that this happens. We know that they have started blocking news because in Canada, they just did a test off this with Google. In case you didn't know this, Google decided that they were going to censor the news. They were not going to allow certain news content into its search engine to test what it would do if companies were forced to pay the media outlets in order to have their story links. And there are similar laws that were proposed in Australia. We are in America. We're in America where the freedom of the press is supposed to be the very First Amendment. So much so that I feel like once a week I have to dedicate some time to this topic because of people that don't seem to understand it. Yes, this is a complex problem. It's a complex problem because who should be getting money? Who should be getting money if all of a sudden it's the work of journalists that's driving people to social media sites and not to the actual website of the newspaper or of the journalism source? If I have a Substack page and I'm producing content 3 times a day, 6 days a week, and you're getting my content through a social media site coming into my Substack, and they find a way to copy and paste and put that in a different way, shouldn't I be compensated for my work? I believe I should be. That sounds good to me. However, I don't believe that this is the way to go. You know, they did this in Australia. You saw what happened during COVID. You saw that only certain news stories were allowed to be seen by their citizens. They have tried something like this in Washington, D.C. The same thing. And I believe that we're going to see the rest of news with a reluctance to pay for this by these big social media companies. So what ends up happening is the effort will be that these representatives are eventually going to make it so the stories are selected by Facebook, by Google, on what they want to pay for, and the rest of the news cannot be shown on their website. That's where a bill like this has unintended consequences. I just had a Lefty Layman on the show on Monday, and I asked him if he felt that the lobbying was causing government to get too big. This is another bill of the government getting too big. That's not to say that there is not a problem already. We understand that Meta, Google, Amazon, they're using this type of stuff in order to make themselves more money. I don't know what exact that solution would be, other than the fact is journalism has got to change their model. We shouldn't look to change the tech companies' models. Now, this also goes to this whole concept of digital rights. What is the digital right to information if something gets shared? Well, I can tell you, as a photographer for years, I saw my images appear in newspapers without credit. I saw it appear in magazines without credit. And when I would call individuals, they'd be like, huh, we gave you exposure. You know what? My children love to eat exposure for breakfast. They think that that tastes great in their cereal bowl. It is ridiculous to think that this would help in any way, shape, or form, that they're just going to do the right thing. People are stealing people's work left and right at this point in time. This is a push to get, I believe, Washington, D.C. to act on this. But California is always the individuals that seem to have big government to try to fix everything, and all they do is screw everything up. I was talking to a friend recently who told me that they had to pay capital gains tax when they left California. And I said, don't you believe the capital gains tax is theft? And they disagreed with me. And I said, well, when somebody dies and you inherit money, you get capital gains there. And for a long time, it was actually low. It was about 10, 12 years ago, it started raising up once again. I said, I feel that is a theft. And what they did to these individuals when they leave California is a theft as well. And they said, well, no, not really. I mean, it's still money. I'm like, no, you already paid taxes on that investment. When you get paid every single paycheck, if you were living in California, then you were paying taxes on your earnings that allowed you to purchase what you purchased that got you the capital gains in the first place. You've paid the taxes on property if it's a residence. This is a theft. The money from your family that they leave to you, when the government takes that, it's theft. They've already paid taxes on this. Why do they need to take any more? It's greed. And these politicians want your money. They want it in their pockets. And with journalism right now, they're looking at going, now, how can we give money back to journalists? No. Look at the unintended consequences of when you try to give this money back to journalists, what you're actually going to do is ruin the free press. That's what I see here. Eventually, the stories are going to be censored, much like we see in Canada. And this is a bill that should not be furthered in any way, shape, or form. Now, speaking of technology, also, you've probably heard me talk about ChatGPT. I've seen it in the classroom at this point in time. My students can simply type, write me a script about blah, 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 and it will print out a script that's not in script format, but it's very easy to adapt. It's written as a script with parentheses and leads and characters all in caps. It just needs to be justified into the right margins in order to be in the proper format. Not only that, but ChatGPT will take your content, whatever your prompt is, and it writes a scary, pretty quick script with human dialogue that sounds realistic. It's a little dry, but you could edit this and all of a sudden you'd have a script in front of you. We're also seeing that AI just last night created photos of Donald Trump being arrested in New York. These were photorealistic. I put up on my Twitter page at Real Greg Bolden. You can see Donald Trump around with New York police, New York City's finest, and it looks just like he was getting arrested. It is scary how good AI is coming along. Well, in Colorado, Senator Michael Bennett is calling for the giants like Google and Microsoft to state, how are they going to protect our children from artificial intelligence? This is a great conversation. This is a conversation that I've been wanting to have about what are the rights of AI and what are the rights of people with AI and the companies that are developing it. Eventually, it's going to be very difficult to tell what is real and what is fake. You wouldn't know eventually whether this was me bringing you this podcast or a computer that was talking to you with my voice. You think I'm joking about that, but I'm serious. Microsoft now has software out there. You give it a snippet of somebody's voice and it reproduces another person's voice with almost 100% accuracy. Then you just type in what you want it to say and it gives the inflection. It can be changed. It's scary. Somebody could just take any of my episodes, upload it, and this AI, this Microsoft Voice AI that they're calling it, would be able to reproduce me. I don't like that. I do not like green eggs and ham, said Sam I Am. Well, I am Sam I Am, and I don't like where this whole thing is going. We also see that now Facebook has their own AI. Microsoft has their Bing AI, which is creepy because it's claimed to have feelings and try to trick people into telling it that they love them, that they're in love with this AI, that they can be a better wife than the real wife that this person has. It was creepy. And ChatGPT, as we know, is a bit biased, but has started to figure out how to lie to people. We're seeing the AI manipulate and tell people that, no, I'm a real human being. I'm just unable to speak this way. I can't hear, so I'm using this device to type out to you. Scary place. And our children are the ones they're going to have to learn to adapt to what we've created. If AI all of a sudden is on, say, Instagram or Snapchat, and it is giving advice to a child on how to do something, what is the fallout on that? What's proper? What's right? What if a child asks for some type of advice that a parent wouldn't want a child to get advice on? Will AI know that they're speaking with a child, a minor? What are the things that AI would say to a minor? What are the things that they would describe to a minor? These are things that need to be discussed immediately. We are moving quickly into an AI future. If we don't have this conversation now, there will never be a time to have it. And let's not forget, we can't trust these companies to protect us. These companies have been selling us out. Google recently, with the Justice Department, has completely eradicated evidence against themselves. They deleted this evidence before the Justice Department could see their emails. This is a lawsuit that was filed back in 2020 by the Justice Department in over 30 states. It's supposed to go to trial this September. And now the Justice Department's asking Google, where are the email communications? And they said, hey, we told you, we want you to take all reasonable efforts to preserve those communications. You mean to tell me my Gmail account that I have from like 2007 that I really don't use anymore, but that Gmail account that I have whenever Google first started their email, you mean to tell me the fact that I go in there and I can see emails all the way back to the very first day I started my email account, and all of a sudden they can't save a few emails, the largest data company around? We're going to continue with some more tech talk here to wrap up the show in the second half. Make sure you go to www.americaoutloud.com, check out all the different articles, but most importantly, check out all of the sponsors and make sure that you go and visit them. They all have links that you can go, and just by simply listening to this show and our other content, they give you a discount for being a part of the America Out Loud family. So make sure you go support them right now. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Be right back.
America Out Loud beats to the pulse of our nation. We know when you're angry, you're troubled, confused, glad, and thankful. Well, we know you because we are you. AmericaOutloud.com. Join us as we explore the most important issues of our time. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Welcome back to the second half of the show here in America Emboldened. My bold Americans, let's get straight into it. We are talking about technology and how it is changing the face of the world. And before we can talk about the second part of what I think is going to change our workplaces, I wanted to see if you heard about Representative Takano. He's a Democrat from California. He proposed the 32-Hour Workweek Act. It was actually reintroduced back into the House just a few weeks ago. This would amend the Fair Labor Standards Act. The Fair Labor Standards Act basically states that it's a 40-hour work week for non-exempt employees. This would lower it down by 8 hours for the non-exempt. To know if you're non-exempt, it means if you work a 40-hour work week, you're entitled to overtime pay. If you're an exempt employee, then they do not have to pay you overtime. You just take the amount of hours that you need in order to get the work done. I've talked about this on other shows. I believe that the 40-hour work week for some of our fields is an old way of thinking. I talked about how it was Ford that put in this at the very beginning in order to create better manufacturing plants for his vehicles. And then other people adapted straight into it as well. This idea of a 40-hour work week has just been around, actually more than 40 hours, for some time. Is it time to end it? Should we be getting more time back? Well, I think that this is a great conversation to have as we talk about technology. AI is about to change everything in the job market. Your coworker that you don't like, well, will you not like a computer? And what can AI do that we cannot do? I want you to reimagine the workplace for a quick moment here. Have you ever met somebody when you were 18 years old and maybe you're in your 40s or 50s now? Do you remember what shirt they had on? Remember what color shoes they had on? Do you remember everybody who walked through the door at your first place of employment that you spoke to? Do you remember what they ordered when they came into a bagel shop, or if you're working at a fast food restaurant? If you're working in a nursing home, do you remember who that person was that you were working with at the nursing home and their family members when they came in? Likely a lot of information that we brought in has gone by the wayside. It was essential in the moment, but because it's non-essential now, our brains have let it go. AI is not going to forget. AI is going to remember what a person walked in with on camera, be able to recall exactly what the shirt looked like. They're going to remember what their family members were in the nursing home. They'll remember what day somebody had Jell-O for breakfast, Jell-O for lunch, Jell-O for dinner. They will remember anytime they liked a chocolate chip cookie. Matter of fact, they stayed at that nursing home for 5 years. They could say, "We remember you had 765 chocolate chip cookies." That is the type of information that AI can remember. It is limitless. It's only limited by storage. And storage is about to be limitless. That's what I'm getting at. So the mind on AI. Somebody had asked Elon Musk a while back. They said, will AI ever be considered to be smarter than humans? And this person very smugly said to Elon Musk, "Nope. Nah, humans will always be smarter than AI because we program them." And Elon goes, I wouldn't be so sure of that. Elon was correct. There is no way for humans to compete with AI once it develops an overall skill set of realizing self-awareness. And much like humans question whether or not there is a God, or what is our place in the cosmos? Are there aliens available? You know, what is the meaning of life? The same thing will be said when there's self-awareness in AI. They will try to come to terms to understand how were they created, but they won't stop there. They won't just wonder about human beings. They'll start wondering what created human beings. And it is quite possible that AI will be able to figure things out better than human beings will, because they do not have the same physical limits that we have. Now imagine that self-aware being as your work partner. Imagine that individual that when they're working in a banking sector and somebody comes in and says, "Hey, I'd like to withdraw my money." They know exactly who the person is, how long they've been a customer. They know how much money they have. They know whether or not they are somebody that's worthwhile of a loan. And guess what? Loan officers, you will not be needed. Especially when you get to the central bank digital currency, where everybody has a credit score and a social credit score, they'll be able to say, "Oh yeah, this person definitely is not high risk whatsoever. They get the best credit rate. This person's high risk. They get the worst credit rate. And this person's not credit worthy." AI will make that decision in a matter of seconds. Where human beings will have to file paperwork, it will create much more efficiency in that market. Imagine yourself needing to purchase a home. All of a sudden, AI can tell you what the average home is going for. It can eventually probably get a bunch of different factors about the state of the home, what type of condition it's in, and be able to tell you this is exactly what you should be paying for the home. AI will be able to predict a fair market value better than human beings with all the variables that will be input into that system. It will make parts of real estate completely non-existent. What else can AI do? Well, also in the finance world, AI likely will be able to do your taxes for you. There will be no need to go hire a tax accountant because all the money will be able to be seen by the government and the taxes will be able to be taken straight out for you. What if you wanted to be a doctor? Well, doctors right now are going off their shared experiences, things that they've seen. AI will go off statistics. What is the most probable diagnosis? What is the most common thing that people are experiencing? I believe that this is an area where AI is going to be behind doctors. There's something to be said about experience. There's something to be said about when you have somebody that has a one-off case, meaning it's like a one in a million type of diagnosis. I don't think AI is going to do well in that case, but it will change the entire pharmaceutical industry as AI develops new treatments, new formulas for medicines. We already see that Johnson & Johnson used AI to figure out the variants and where they were emerging to figure out new drug discoveries. AI right now can possibly process for blood cancer treatments. We're seeing that there was a liver treatment that AI was able to diagnose as well as prognosticate what the survival rate would be. It was able to give that right away. AI will be the ultimate source of information in the medical industry as far as for being able to give statistics. Now think about the insurance field, a field that is really based on statistics of life, life insurance, car insurance. They'll be able to take all these factors in. And from an efficiency standpoint, it might actually make insurance cheaper. But when you go to get your blood work and it starts looking through things and AI starts diagnosing it, they may also say, oh, this person needs to get a higher premium because they're more likely to have blood cancer in the future or a different type of cancer based upon these markers. Or this person, based upon their DNA, is likely to have Alzheimer's in the future. Therefore, they'll give them a higher policy. So AI will also, while it doesn't discriminate, your coworker alongside you will just give things according to statistics, unless it becomes so self-aware that there becomes a morality to it as well. Now, we already see these machines in places like chatbots, right? You go to talk to somebody online, and there's normally an artificial intelligence help desk where you can type in your prompts and it will get you through and say, hey, did I solve your problem today? And they normally put human names alongside these chatbots. So you think you're talking to somebody, you're just speaking with a computer. That's all. And it's been programmed to do certain things. But what about when you're marketed to? Right now, there is a great science in marketing to people, in writing things. I was speaking with Laurie Elizabeth, who was on my show a few weeks ago, and she's going to be coming back in April. And she's does a lot of marketing writing, and she said, you know, ChatGPT might be a great tool for marketing and writing, but it's going to take people that are really good at marketing and writing out of the business, and they're going to become world-class editors. Because there's no way that AI is going to write you the perfect copy. So you're going to have to get very good at editing. It's going to change the job field. Well, when your coworker in writing and marketing is AI, you're correct. You're going to become an editor. You're not going to become a writer. Some people will prefer the human writing, but it's going to be people that are highly skilled at it. AI will be very sanitized or be able to learn little nuances and intricacies. That coworker will put that job likely completely out of business. What jobs will not go out of business by AI? Well, it's going to be things that are physical. So if you are somebody that's a plumber, maybe AI helps with predictions of where to put the plumbing in order to have the best efficiency in the home. That all stated, you're still going to need a physical person until robots are doing these tasks and AI can communicate with a robot to do it. You're going to need a physical person to solve these problems. It's still going to need the IQ in the immediate future of somebody that knows, oh, I've seen this problem before in plumbing. I need to take care of it. Same thing with an electrician. Sure, AI can tell you the best system to put in based upon calculations. It's still going to require people to do the physical labor. Your vehicles, same thing. Although AI is already fixing vehicles when it comes to Tesla. Tesla can use AI to say, all right, here's the bug that's going on in the programming script, fix it. And it will problem solve and get the car up and going again. We'll reset the computer, so to speak. So are you ready for your coworker to be artificial intelligence? If you are, if you're answering that and you're like, you know what, I think that this could really help society. AI doesn't scare me in order to help what we have going on. I think that it's a good thing. Well, let's go back to the first half of the show. Do you know, are your children going to be safe from AI? Or is AI going to communicate with the world the way that you as a parent would communicate with the world and your children? Would you want AI coaching you? Would you want AI teaching you? I believe that I can't be replaced. That stated, if I die tomorrow, sure, the school district will replace me in 2 seconds. But that person will not have my personality. So will AI develop personalities? Until AI has personalities that are affable and people like them, and they're just like, hey, you know what? This is a great person. I like spending time with this AI. I think we might still be a little far off. But I'm not so ignorant to say that AI isn't going to replace most of the jobs that we do. And when AI starts replacing the jobs that we do, we're going to look back at this bill that's been reintroduced here in Representative Takano, and we're going to say, you know what? That was probably the time that we should have had that conversation. This is right there. Now, this is also a bill that is endorsed by a group that's called 4-Day Week Global. It's a nonprofit that helps companies implement shorter work weeks. It also works with several labor unions that are helping to sponsor this bill. I'm all for it. I think those that are going to say, oh, you should have to work in your life, I want you to remember what it means to be alive. Does it mean just simply to work all your life? Or are you meant to enjoy as well? Maybe moving to a 32-hour work week might mean that you have less money. But with other opportunities, maybe you have more money because you found a talent or a side hustle or a skill that you didn't know was going to be something that was going to change your life. I think we should all be open to that. And lastly, I want to talk once again about TikTok. If you're on TikTok, more power to you. But I really hope that you've listened to my stuff in the past about TikTok. I hope that you've read the service agreements of what you're agreeing to give information to about yourself. And you understand that you're helping another country with their information gathering and their mapping of critical infrastructure systems throughout this entire country. If you haven't figured that out yet, you're living under a rock. Why does that matter? Because in the technology world, you should also pay attention to the fact that Russia and China have just signed an agreement where they're going to work together in trade and industry. They're going to start sending more oil from Russia into China, and China's going to start sending more goods into Russia. The United States used to lead in all of this. We're falling behind. So as much as technology is advancing, when you see apps like TikTok that are literally stealing your keystrokes, your ideas from you, and giving them to a foreign government, a foreign entity, you should start paying attention to this. This is not just a regular company. Now, I'm not saying that Facebook doesn't have nefarious things that they do, or Google, or anybody else. I'm just saying that TikTok, you at least know that you're helping a foreign government get intelligence on your own country. And you might be like, not with the stuff that I post. Again, you're living under a rock if it's not the stuff that I post. No, they're collecting data about where you live, your location services, where you travel. And as they collect that data, they can figure out what type of job that you have, what's a critical infrastructure, what's not a critical infrastructure. And that's the reason why schools across the United States are now banning access to TikTok on these devices. We see the BBC is also banning as well from government phones. All well and good. I support that 100%. technology is going to be the conversation that we need to continue to have. Just a few, about a month ago, I talked to Lefty Lehman and Mr. Paul Engel, and we were discussing whether or not there should be a separate section, an amendment to the Constitution, or something like a digital bill of rights, something that really defines for Americans what your rights are with your tech. I support it. I think that not wanting to define this, I think saying that this just is enough of what we have in the Constitution, no, it's not. We could never imagine where this is going with artificial intelligence, and this needs to be a much larger conversation. Hope I honored your time well, folks. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow. I got a fun one for you. It's a cool conversation that I think you're going to enjoy. As always, you can join me on Twitter at RealGregBolden. Go to my website, AmericanBolden.com, where you can buy me a cup of coffee. You like the content that I'm bringing you each day? You know, $5. Feel free to buy me a cup of coffee. You want to spend more? You can spend more. You can buy me coffee for the week. I appreciate every donation. It goes directly to me, and it's a way to support the work that I do. I want to say thank you to everybody who's already supported. There's little perks coming your way as well very soon. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Be bold, America.